For us tonight, let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Last week we finished up John 14 as we go verse by verse through the Gospel of John. And we went through verses 15 through 31 and about the Comforter being promised. In verses 15 through 17 in review, we see promises for the obedient. The pattern of obedience is keeping Christ's commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. And he says, if you do this, I will pray to the Father and he will give you a comforter. That was his prayer. The provision of the Holy Spirit. God will never leave us comfortless. He will never leave us powerless. He will always be here with us. And we see that it's the permanence of the Holy Spirit. He will be with us always. And he's here tonight. In verse 17, we see the properties of the Holy Spirit, that he leads us to truth by his truth. That's given to God, to believers, that it's not as the world can give. Just like God's peace, just like God's joy. The world's a poor imitation of this, and it can never give any lasting thing. And the Holy Spirit will give us answers and trials. We looked at this verse in Mark 13 about don't worry about what you need to say when you're brought up in front of people. Just listen to what the Holy Spirit said. He'll give you the answer. And then in verses 18 through 26, there were pressing needs for the disciples at that time. These are the last hours of Christ. And they wanted to see Christ. Let us see the Father and it will suffice us. But you know what the needs are? It's to love Christ. It's to understand Christ. It's to live in Christ by having Christ live in you. And then it's to respond, it's to hear Christ now. They needed to hear all this now because it all started out with, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And he goes ahead and he repeats it again in this passage. And then we need to respond to the Holy Spirit. And then in verses 27 through 31, to close this section out, we see the peace of Christ. It is unparalleled. It's God's peace. The world can't give it. It's unrealized because of our unbelief. The peace of God is right there. All we need to do is to accept it. And it's undermined by unbelief. But if we understand it and we follow it, it is undefeated. Christ cannot be conquered. Neither can we. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So that was last week, and the Comforter promised. This week, a single word title, continue. Continue. And we're looking at John chapter 15, verses 1 through 17, and Christ encourages continued faithfulness. Now, chapter 14 ends with this. Arise and let us go hence. Up to this point, they've been in the upper room. Christ has washed their feet. Judas has been identified. They've had the Last Supper. Christ starts this conversation, and now he's on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane. A lot of Bible scholars say he's doing this as they're walking through the Kidron Valley towards Mount Olivet or the Mount of Olives. And so, can you imagine this? It's dark and Christ is walking. You know, it's dark in a physical sense because it's night. It's also dark in a spiritual sense because Christ is going to be crucified and no one cares. And the disciples don't understand. So we're going to be looking at three things that we need to continue in our relationship with God. In verses 1 through 8, once again, this is a very familiar passage. We need to continue in Christ. We need to continue in Christ. In verses 1 and 2, Christ makes this point to his disciples. You need to beware of counterfeits. There's a lot of people, there's a lot of things that promise you spiritual help, but they don't provide. It only comes from God. There is only one true vine. In John chapter 15, verse 1, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. This is the seventh of the I ams of Christ in the Gospel of John. This is the last one. He says, I am the true vine. He has been approaching the religious leaders all along saying, your faith is false. It will not get you there. There's only one way. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Now, in the Kidron Valley, there is a vineyard. So I am sure that as they're walking, Christ is using an object lesson, just like he used the fig tree, just like he used the temple. And he uses this as an object lesson. The vineyard represents Israel. We can go back to Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 5, that entire chapter. Let me sing you the song of the vineyard. And you go through verses 1 through 6, and it talks about, I did everything I could for the vineyard, but it had wild vines in it. And so I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to let it just go to its own way. We have a free will. But the vineyard in the Old Testament talks about Israel because God told Isaiah in verse 7, he says, for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. Now, there's no disputing this. When God says it is, okay? And the men of Judah has pleasant plan. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression, for righteousness, but behold, a cry. In Matthew chapter 21, Christ uses the parable of a vineyard. And he says, the Lord had a vineyard. And he did everything to do it. And he sent his servants to go in there and be husbandmen. And you killed them. And then he sends his son. And he said, this is the heir. We'll kill him. So as they're walking through the Kidron Valley to the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, beware of counterfeits. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. The husbandman is the one that takes care of everything. God takes care of everything for us. He takes care of everything. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 11, he says, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Christ is the true vine. So beware of counterfeits. There's only one true vine, and there is only one set of true branches. And so now he's going to get into this illustration of the vineyard. In verse 2, he says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. If you are in the vineyard, and if you are in the vine, you are saved. He's not talking about losing salvation. He's talking about fruitfulness. The parable, the seed and the sower. What did the seed that went on the good soil do? It brought forth fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. And so it's an issue of being fruitful. And if you say you're a Christian and you're not fruitful, you're not in the vine. I want to tell you that right now. There's a lot of people that think they're going to heaven and they're going to miss it because they're not who they say they are. There is no fruit. Christ said, by their fruits ye shall know them. We're not talking about losing salvation. We're talking about never being saved in the first place. And that's the real point. He says, I am the true vine. And my Father is a husbandman. And then he says this, every branch in me that beareth not fruit is he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it might bring forth more fruit. There's only one true set of branches. Romans chapter 10, or Romans 9 and 10 talks about grafting in, taking off the wild, and taking a wild branch and grafting it into the olive tree. Talking about Gentiles. There's only one true set of believers. There is one true church of God. There's a whole lot of people out there that have names that say we're a church. They're not churches. This is a church. We're worshiping God, the true vine. We're worshiping the husband, God the Father. In John chapter 10, verse 16, he says, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be what? One fold and one shepherd." So, the first question is, are you serving a counterfeit God? And then, are you being a counterfeit professor and not a possessor of Christ? And he's telling the 11, remember, one of them just left because he was the counterfeit. He was the son of perdition. So to continue in Christ, you got to beware of counterfeits. Because I could tell you there's a lot of counterfeits out there. And for the new Christian, once you get saved, someone's going to knock on your door and say, "Well, that's it. Every time there was a church started, there were these Judaizers came in. And then there were the Gnostics came in. And there were these scientists came in. And they messed up everybody's belief." And Paul had to write all these letters to say, that's counterfeit. That's counterfeit. So in verses 1 and 2, beware of counterfeit. Verse 3 to 5, we see be fruitful. Now there's three things here to be fruitful. First of all, if you're not a branch, if you're not a true branch, you're out of the vine. If you are a true branch, you're going to bring forth fruit. And what happens? You pick the fruit, so it does what? Bring more fruit. So in order to be fruitful, first of all, you need to be cleansed. You need to be clean. This word, he says, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." It's got the concept of being pruned. Got to, all the bad stuff is taken off, and only the right parts of the branch that can bring forth fruit are left behind. And so we need to be clean. The other thing is that the fruit needs to be clean too. Back then, they didn't have the little vine dressers where the little, you know, the vines were up, elevated off. It laid on the ground. You had to actually clean the fruit. See, the issue is we have to have the Word of God clean us. Psalm 119, verse 9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By what? Taking heed according to thy word. If you love me, keep my what? Commandments." Okay? You need to abide in me. He's the true vine. The first thing to be fruitful is you have to be clean. You have to know the vine. And you have to be purged to be fruitful. The second one is you've got to be connected. You've got to be in the vine. Verse 4, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me." You might be able to fool people with looking Christian, but you won't fool God. And you won't bring fruit to fruition here. You have to be connected to the vine. And here's this issue about fruit. First of all, he says, every branch should bear fruit. And then as you go through here, it says it will bring forth more fruit. And then as you go further down here, it says you'll bring forth much fruit. There's a progression here that we need to watch as we go through these verses. But you've got to be clean through the word which God has spoken, Christ has spoken into it. You've got to be connected. If you're not in the vine, it's not going to work. Then you need to be complete. Verse 5, "I am the vine. Ye are the branches." There's a lot of people out there who think the branch is the vine. Nope. "He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth" what? "Much fruit." So we've gone from fruit to more fruit to much fruit. Okay? "For without me, ye can do nothing." In order to be complete in your Christian walk, you've got to be complete in Christ. In order to be complete in Christ, you have to abide in him. So, you need to beware of counterfeits. You need to be fruitful by being clean, by being connected to the vine, and by being complete in him. And then verses 6 through 8, you need to be faithful. You need to be faithful. In verse 6, there's faithlessness exposed. It says here, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. There's going to be a lot of people in hell thinking, I thought so. I thought I knew. I thought I was. And they'll find out before God, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. And there'll be outer darkness, there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You might look good, but the only way that you could be good is to have Christ in your heart. So he says, be faithful. Be faithful. You have to abide in Christ. Verses 7 through 8, faithfulness is encouraged. He says here, if ye abide in me. Now let's pause for a second. When we see if, it's not God's problem. It's not God's choice. It's our choice. It's our choice to abide in him. It's our choice to follow him. It's our choice to be clean. It's our choice to be connected. It's our choice to be complete. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you. If you love me, keep my commandments. Right here we see if you're abiding in Christ, what needs to abide in your life? The word. It's all about the word of God. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. You know why? Because the vine, the root, is going to tell you what you need. And you're going to ask the right thing. And you're not going to be able to bring forth a wild grape. You're not going to be able to bring forth an orange. You're not going to be able to bring forth an apple. You're going to bring forth exactly what God wants you to do. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Now let's look at this verse real quick. If we don't bring forth as much fruit as we can, are we clearly glorifying God? No, we're not. Oh, if we're not bearing much fruit, like we're designed to do, are we his disciples? No. So to continue in Christ, beware of counterfeits. To continue in Christ, be fruitful. To continue in Christ, be faithful. Be faithful. Verses 9 through 12 is the second point. Continue in love. Verse 9, you need to follow the Father. Remember what Philip asked? Show us the Father, and it'll suffice us. Back in chapter 14. And what did Christ say? You see me, you see my Father. I'm telling you the same thing I told the crowd. But in verse 9, it says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. So here's the point. The Father's love towards mankind is continuous. It's demonstrated by his Son, Jesus Christ. For God so what? Loved the world. But God commanded his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Father's love never fails. Christ says, okay, you know that, and now I have loved you as my Father loves you. And now I want you to continue in that love as my Father is continuous and I am continuous. because it's eternal. And we're talking about agapeo love, the sacrificing love. So he says, follow the Father. Verse 10, follow the Son. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. So what's the converse of this? If you don't keep his commandments, you're outside of God's love. He can't love you like he wants. He still loves you, but he can't love you in your life like he wants to. It is a choice that we make. Even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. See, the issue is Christ is our example. He's been given them example after example after example that he's the Son of God. They're still having a hard time with it. It's not hard. It's sometimes hard to do this. But we need to follow, to continue in God's love. You need to follow the Father, follow the Son, and find true joy in Christ. And find true joy in Christ. And verse 11 is a joy that lasts. He says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This issue of remaining is to continue to the end. Okay? Continue to the end of our physical life, and then continues to the end of eternity. He says, these things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you. Not your joy, his joy. To have true joy, you need his joy. And it is that lives to fulfill. And that your joy might be full. The word for full is to be made perfect, as in lacking nothing. It's the same thing that James uses in James chapter 1, that your patience may be perfect, lacking nothing, okay? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11, it says, wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling. And here's where this joy and full fulfillment is. The same word, and fulfill. It's the exact same word. And fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. So the point here is, your joy might be full in the sense that it's God that gave it, and we have followed God and abiding in him so much that it completes us. So you find true joy in Christ. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Whose joy is it? It's God's. How can you have joy? God. The second thing is, it's joy that loves. In verse 12, it says, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Now, in the end of this book, Peter's going to get this test. But you know, our love for God's tested every day. Our question if we're abiding in God is tested every day. Our issue of whether or not we have the peace of God is tested every day. The issue of we have the joy and its fullness in us is tested every day. The word of the ability of us to follow God's word is tested every day. It's a daily thing. It's a continuing thing. Continue in Christ. Continue in love. Now, John goes on, and later on, he writes a letter to the general church. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 9, he writes this. He says, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of who? God. Later on in this chapter, he says, herein is love, not that we first loved God, but that he first loved us. And everyone that loveth, no, It's not saying I love you. It's loving God. Okay? It's loving God only God's way. Is born of God and knoweth God. He that knoweth not, loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God towards us. Now, the manifestation of God's love towards us is Christ. Because that God sent his only begotten Son, his only begotten Son into the world that we might what? Live through him. So to find true joy in Christ, you must have a joy that lasts. It must be a joy that lives out in us that shows that we are complete in him. And then the last thing is it's love. It's one that expresses itself. So continue in Christ, continue in love. Thirdly, continue in Christ's commandments. In verses 13 through 17, verse 13 through 15, in order, if you continue in Christ's commandments, to be Christ's friend. Now, I'm glad we don't love God like a Facebook friend. Although I think some people do. You want to be my friend? Just say, you're my friend. No, you're not. You're just connected. You're just connected. We don't bring Christ down to us on a level of friendship. We go to his level on an order of friendship. To be Christ's friend, it's made by the sacrifice of Christ himself. In verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to what? Lay down our lives for the brethren. If you want to continue in love, you got to do what? You got to follow the Father, you got to follow the Son, and you got to find true joy in Christ, which means we need to do things God's way. Now, he's walking through the night on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's telling his disciples this. Can you put this in your mind's eye? This is some pretty heavy stuff for them to comprehend. And Christ is pouring everything he can into them right now, because in a matter of hours, he's going to be taken away from them. And then in a matter of a day, he's going to be crucified. And he says, look, he says, you're my friends. Remember what he even says to Judas? Friend, betray me with a kiss? Friend, why have you come? Christ is the friend of sinners. He is the friend of sinners. So to continue in Christ's commandments is to be Christ's friend, and it's made by the surrender to Christ. Now, I'll tell you what. Let's talk about earthly friendship. If you say you have a friend and you ask them to help you, and they never help you, they're not your friend. If you say you have a friend and everything you tell them, they deny, they're not a friend. John 15, 14, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. If you, my friend, keep my commandments. Do whatsoever I command you. So it's made by the sacrifice of Christ. It's made by the surrender of Christ. And then it's made by the sense or the intellect or the realization of Christ. In verse 15, it says, henceforth, I call you not servants. Now in John 4, 12, he's called them his servants. And now he's taken his disciples from that level, and he says, henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. Philippians says that we have the what? Mind of Christ. We have the Word of God. We know exactly what God's thinking. We know exactly what God wants us to do. We know exactly how to get there. We have the mind of Christ. He says, ye have not, he says, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. A friend is one who communes in your secrets, in your mind, in all those things. James chapter 2, verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Now, remember what Abraham got to do. First of all, God told him about the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah. God told him about what he was going to do. God gave him promises of Isaac. God gave him a promise of a land. God gave him a promise of a seed. God gave him a promise of all these things. He said, this is my plan for eternity, and I'm showing it to you. There's a promise of a redeemer pictured in his son. He says, I'm showing you all this thing. This is what God, Christ is talking to his disciples. He said, I've shown you everything. You're going to see the plan of God unfold before your very eyes. And you need to believe me now so you can see it happening and you believe. Remember last chapter, he talked about that. Talked about that. So, to be Christ's friend is made by the sacrifice of Christ. You cannot be Christ's friend unless you know Christ as your Savior. Secondly, it's made by our surrender to Christ. You cannot be Christ's friend unless you do what he wants you to do. Okay? And then it's made by the sense of Christ. We know exactly what God wants us to do. That's the first point. Before we get to the second point, I want to share a couple passages out of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 13 through 17, it says, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, it says, for we are laborers together with who? God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ah! Ye are God's building. Christ fulfilled God's plan by going to the cross. That was the plan. Christ fulfills God's plan by resurrecting. Christ is going to fulfill God's plan by being the judge. Christ is going to fulfill God's plan by coming back and setting everything in order. Christ is going to fulfill God's plan by creating a new heaven and a new earth. Those are things that Christ will do. But to continue in Christ's commandment is to be Christ fulfillment. Christ died for every one of us in here. And if we don't do what we're created in Christ Jesus to do, we are not fulfilling that, and the plan is worthless. And we're not continuing in his commandments. So to be Christ's fulfillment, we see here is being the commissioned of God. In verse 16, he says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, just as I have asked, he may give it to you, just as he's given it to me." We are going to be the follow-on to Christ. He says, "Greater works than these will you do. My peace I leave with you. My love I leave with you. My grace I leave you. My word I leave with you." And if we don't become God's friends, if we don't continue in Christ, if we don't continue in his love, we are not fulfilling the commission. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." We need to continue in Christ's commandment to be Christ's friends. If we continue in Christ's commandments, we will fulfill the words of Christ. We will fulfill God's plan for mankind. To be Christ's fulfillment is to be commissioned of God, and then it's the commanded of God in verse 17. "These things I command you, that ye love one another." Now, as I close down here, as I close this lesson tonight, I want to share three things. We're commissioned by Christ, and we're commanded of God as his people. We shared this Sunday, Psalm 100, verse 3. "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." To be commanded of God is to be his witnesses. In Acts chapter 5, verse 32, it says, "And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that" what? "Obey him." They got it. But do we get it? And the third thing is, we're commanded to be his workers. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before" what? "Ordained." This is the fulfillment of Christ here, "that we should" what? "Walk in them." So, we need to continue in Christ. We need to continue in Christ. Continue in his love. Continue in him. And continue in his commandments. But in order to do that, you must know him as your Savior. Do you know him tonight? If not, this is an opportunity. Are we following him? Are we continuing the way God wants us to continue? If not, we can get that right tonight too. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask you this time of invitation. Just search our hearts and help us, Lord, to continue in you. Lord, we can't do it ourselves, but you've given us all the grace and everything to do that. Help us to follow your word. Help us, Lord, to love you. Help us, Lord, to do for you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.